A tune called Lowdown Blues from the latest CD by Wayne Hancock. It's the CD called Ride. It came out almost a year ago. And Lowdown Blues is sort of a boogie-woogie representing a number of different styles that collectively, I guess, could be called juke joint swing. We'll talk about that in a minute. Wayne Hancock's going to be at the Rose Bowl Tavern in downtown Urbana on Saturday for a show at 8 o'clock with his band there. That's on North Race Street, call it the home of country music here in Champaign, Urbana. And he's generally called a traditionalist with a twist. And he here to answer that charge, so to speak, is Wayne Hancock himself. Thanks very much for joining us on the show.
Yes, sir. How y'all doing today?
Well, I can't speak for them, but I'm doing fine. First, just to get this out of the way, you know, your nickname is Wayne the Train Hancock, and I know you've been asked this thousands of times, but where did that come from?
There was a singer named Alvin Crowe that coined that name. I think the true answer is probably less fun than if I were to make up something about it. It's just that it rhymed with my name. But over the years, of course, when I play a show, you know, my average set is 2 hours without a break. And usually, if the audience is into it, sometimes we might even go 3 hours. That's 3 hours straight through, no breaks, nonstop, you know. So a lot of people thought that the way I play my guitar is kind of like a train chugging along, you know.
And also a train barreling through a really long set, maybe.
Yeah, just like a freight train, just keep going, man, you know.
Well, I just thought we'd address that and knock it off real quick. You know, I referred to you, as you're often referred to, as a traditionalist in country music. And I wonder what that means to you and how you might transform that term.
I'm not sure what a traditionalist is. It's like someone that maybe stick with tradition. I just play what I like to play, you know, and I try to make music from all the, I try to take an aspect of every kind of music that I liked, you know, and a lot of boogie-woogie and Western swing, and of course Hank Williams, Honky Tonk, and Hank Thompson, all the Hanks, you know, and some Woody Guthrie, just try to take a little piece from everything that I like, you know, including in big band swing too, you know, Glenn Miller and stuff like that, and Tex Beneke, and just take a little bit of every aspect of that and try to make my own thing, you know. I don't know if my music, if I could really call my music traditional, maybe traditional in the sense with Jimmy Bryant, Speedy West, guys like that, you know, with the kind of music that they were playing. You know, like Tennessee Ernie Ford, you know, his early stuff where he was really getting out there, you know.
Well, I guess my sense of what most people have meant when they use that term in reference to you is the sense that you're... All the folks you mentioned are long gone.
Yeah, it's funny, ain't it? Well, everybody I like has been dead for years before I was born. And a few of them lived to, I don't remember when Ernest Tubb died. What, he died, 74?
That I couldn't tell you.
Or maybe needing to die, maybe he died later than that. I know Bob Wills died in the 70s. Yeah. Of course, I was born in the 60s, but all the kind of people that the kind of music that I like in general, most of those folks are dead. There's a few people out on the road that are friends of mine that I like their kind of music. They're still alive, but you know.
How did you? What was your own musical upbringing like, and how is it that you think you latched on to this type of music without going? Let's say, without going further into what is generally considered to be contemporary country music.
Well, my parents were both born in the 20s. You know, my father was born in 1923. My mother was born in 1927. So we had a record player at home, and we had everything from, as you mentioned, you know, some classical music to Glenn Miller, Artie Shaw, and we had some Count Basie records. Then we had a compilation of early 50s music. You know, you get these, like, I think Reader's Digest would put them out. You know, had all these records that would come and have songs from the 50s, and they had some Carl Perkins and all kinds of different stuff on those. And then we had Hank Williams, we had Hank Thompson, we had Jimmy Rogers. And Burl Ives too, you know, some Beach Boy records. I didn't really find much in the Beach Boys I liked. It wasn't a particularly, it must have been one of their later albums, you know, but we had all this different music that we listened to. Then we had, Broadway and show tunes, and we had one Beatles record that was my sister's that my grandmother bought for my oldest sister when she was like 5 or 6 years old. It was a Beatles 4 album, you know. And that was pretty much, that was all we had. And that was all we ever had. And so, you know, when you grow up listening to that kind of music, that kind of puts you out of step with what is on the radio, and especially if that's what you grow to like, you know. And I was always like 40 years behind my taste, you know what I'm saying? My taste in music has always been at least 30 or 40 years apart.
What is there? Is there anything specific that sort of keeps you from gravitating to real deal country, so to speak, today?
Yeah, I like my music to move and have a good beat, and I like it to swing hard. And when the musicians are playing, I like them to actually play something. And so often in contemporary country music or top 40 country music or any kind of top 40 music, the it seems like they're paid to not play, you know. And I have musicians that I hire, and you can bet your boots they're going to be playing, you know. I mean, they don't pay them money to sit on their butt up on stage or stand there and mark time. I like my music to go somewhere, and I like it to be loud and hard, you know, and good dancing music. And I just can't get into today's music. I'm not knocking today's music. It just ain't for me, Yeah.
Well, let's give an example of what is for you. This is also from the album called Ride, and this is, I guess, a piece of Western swing, I'd say, anyway. It's called Lone Road Home, and I'll ask you a question about it after we finish it. My guest is Wayne Hancock, who's coming to the Rose Bowl in Urbana, Rose Bowl Tavern, for a show that's coming Saturday. And you're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9.
One, two, one. Well, the future looks bright, and yet many a sin I can't forget from many moons ago that come and gone. So before I start to wonder, I better talk to the man up yonder. Sooner or later, I'll be walking that lone road home. It's just a matter of time till I reach the end of the line. Well, I don't want to spend eternity alone. Well, I don't want to have to wait. See if they'll let me in that gate when I leave this world and walk the lone road home. Yeah, Texas, go. Father passed away. He was ready for the judgment day. He knew the time had come to be moving on. When it's my turn to cash in, you know I wanna be just like him, just ready and waiting to walk that long road home. Well, it's just a matter of time till I reach the end of the line, and I don't wanna spend eternity alone. When I leave that world and walk that long road home.
Lone Road Home, the name of the tune, Wayne the Train Hancock, as he's known, from the CD called Ride. Came out about a year ago. He's come to Urbana for a show on Saturday. He's my guest on Live and Local. There's a line in there that references many a sin I can't forget. And there's also sort of in various places on your biographical material and people's reviews of your music, various common commentaries to the effect that, and I'm actually quoting Big Bill Brunsey here, blues is a natural fact, something that a fellow lives. If you don't live it, you don't have it. And I wonder how that quote from him and also that line from the song, Many a Sin I Can't Forget, how that relates to how you live country music or how you live your music.
Well, when I wrote the song, I was like in my late 20s when I wrote that song. And I was just out of the Marine Corps, and I had a quite a drinking problem. I didn't get that from the Marines. I was drinking when I was a teenager, you know, playing honky-tonks and all that. But I was kind of reflecting on my life, and you know, when you're a young man, you always think that you're going to die young, and then you get older and you find out that's not the case, you know. And I was just kind of reflecting on the fact that you know, we live in a world where a lot of people don't really believe anything. I believe in God, and I didn't want to die without acknowledging the fact that I did believe in Him. And that's not really a popular subject these days, you know. So when I write songs, I just try to sort of keep it in the background, you know, throw hints to people what my beliefs are without actually putting their faces in it, you know. But, yeah, when I was talking about many sin, I can't forget, I was just talking about my rowdy ways. You know, because I really put my parents through hell with my drinking, you know, earlier on in my life. And
And those have resurfaced from time to time.
You bet. I'd be a liar if I said that they didn't. You know, I've certainly had my battles with my demons, just like anybody else. But I don't know very many people that can sit there and say that they never had some kind of problem that they've had. Very few of them. You know, it's just one of the unfortunate things. If you're playing in bars and honky tonks every night, there's gonna be a lot of things out there that you might get hooked into. You know, mine was always alcohol. You know, take a couple of drinks and the stuff tastes terrible. But after a couple of belts, it seems like you think it takes your nerves, your edge off, but in reality, it kind of numbs you to what's going on around you, and dulls your judgment. You know.
Do you think that the type of music that you play is at least partly a way to avoid that numbness?
Yeah, I kind of resorted a few years ago to thinking, well, you know, we heard about people ODing on drugs and people OD on booze. You know, guys, I think Keith Whitley was a guy that drank himself to death. You know, you can turn up a bottle of booze and drink the whole thing, and supposedly it'll kill you, you know. Or you can drink yourself to death slowly. I decided a few years ago that I wanted to OD on music. When I play music, I get almost like getting high. I get a high off music, and it lasts me usually till daylight before I can go to sleep. Because you get all wound up and excited from playing, you know. That's a nice diversion to alcohol, you know.
Is there a low then that comes? I mean, as long as we're doing the analogy to drugs and so on, if you get up on this big high, do you come down sometimes? And then what happens?
When you come down, you usually just go to sleep. You know, and I think I was talking with a friend of mine the other day. I've been fortunate, man. I never have gotten on really hard drugs. I smoked a lot of reefer for a long time. I finally got to where I quit doing it. Now it looks like they're going to be making it legal. that's the way it goes, you know. But I think the reason why maybe some people will get on really some of the harder stuff, like guys, some people get on heroin and stuff like that, is because maybe they're playing music and they're in the industry. Maybe that wasn't their thing, you know. But they're doing it because it makes them money. Maybe they're tied into a contract, or they're playing the same show every night. And maybe they hate their lives so much that they have to numb themselves, you know. Maybe that's why they get hooked into that stuff, or you know, maybe everybody has their own reasons, man, for drinking. You know, some people or for doing whatever. You know, some people can't handle success. You know, I don't know. I don't think I'd have a hard time handling success, whatever comes.
Oh, it seems like you've had plenty, and you know, everybody's got their brand.
Yeah, I was being kind of a smartass when
I understand that.
I think I had a pretty successful life, but I'm not living the big star, can't leave your house type life. Thank God for that. I don't think I'd want to be like that, you know. But I make a good living, just enough living for the IRS to attack me every year, and just enough, I make just enough dough-ray-me to keep the tax man off my back and keep the lights on, you know.
There you go. Well, we played a couple of uptunes from Ride. Here's one that's a little bit slower. To, I guess, go along with this part of the conversation where you come down a bit. And I love the opening part because you actually have a trombone here, which the average country band probably doesn't have. And this tune is called Gal from Kitchens Field. What's the background of this one?
This song I wrote, I'm trying to remember when it was. It was 92 or 93, and I was kind of referring to Sue Foley at the time because that's who I was dating. And for those of you who don't know who Sue Foley is, she's a wonderful, wonderful blues singer and guitarist, lead guitar player. She actually played on my first album, Thunderstorms, Neon Signs. And anyway, I was dating Sue Foley, and I was driving through this. I was driving by this baseball diamond, and it was April or something like that, and it was springtime. And there was this big baseball diamond down here in Texas. We have blue bonnets, and the whole diamond or the whole field was filled with these blue bonnets. And this song just like came into my head within like 2 or 3 minutes. I mean, it was one of the ones that just drops in your lap. And I literally just pulled the car over. I had a little notebook or something with me, and I just wrote the song right there on the side of the road, and went home and recorded it. And recorded it on a cassette player, so I could play it back and remember how it went. But I was just writing the song, basically, you know, yeah, spring day, blue sky, the air is full of mischief, so am I, you know, and just basically talking about how I met this girl. Of course, I was talking about Sue Foley, because Sue Foley wasn't from Kitchens Field, but the name of the baseball diamond was Kitchens Field. So it just kind of sort of materialized there. And I hadn't recorded the song till now, because I always thought it was kind of a hoax. Not hokey, but kind of, it's a different song. It sounds like it would belong on a Broadway play or something, you know. Or maybe a musical where the guy is walking down the street and he just starts singing, you know.
Well, it is different from everything else on this record, really.
Yeah, I always apologize to people when I give them the record. I go, watch out for that song, you know.
Oh, that's a great song.
I like it, but it's just one of those songs where I always wonder if I did right by putting it in the mix, because it is so far out there, you know.
Well, it wakes people up every once in a while.
Yeah.
Not that anybody's going to fall asleep during one of your shows, from what I understand. But
if they do, they're really drunk.
Yeah. Well, Wayne Hancock's my guest on Live and Local. He's going to be at the Rose Bowl Tavern in Urbana on Saturday. And here's his tune called Gal from Kitchens Field here on Live and Local.
Sky. The air is full of mischief, and so am I. Last week I met someone who made me fall for real. I'm talking about that gal from Kitchensfield. She's my loving gal, and I'm her loving man. No one can make me jump quite like my baby can. There's a lot of pretty faces, but she's a steal. I'm talking about that gal from Kitchensfield. Summertime always find me lazy, makes me just a little crazy too. You'll find the both of us a fishing, wishing we are blues. That's why I'm saying, as long as I'm around, I'm her man to stay. She'll be my loving baby till my dying day. There's a lot of pretty faces, but she's a steal. I'm talking about that gal from Kitchensfield. Both of
of us are fishing, wishing way our blues. That's why I'm saying, as long as I'm around, I'm her man to stay. She'll be my loving mama till my dying day. There's a lot of pretty faces, but she's a steal. You know I'm gonna join her. That's right, forever on I'll love her. That's why I'm going, brother, down to Kitchen
Field. It's called Gal from Kitchen's Field from the album Ride by Wayne Hancock. He is coming to Urbana Saturday for a show. He's my guest this portion of Live and Local, and very glad to have you on. I wanted to ask something. You referred earlier to hiring musicians and then expecting them to actually play, and they're very good musicians. And I'm kind of curious, what's typically your own role instrumentally in your band?
Oh, I'm just a rhythm player. I'm the rhythm player and the band leader. You know, and of course, when you have a three-piece band, you don't really have a whole lot of calling to do. You know, calling parts. There's only like one guy playing lead and the other guy's playing bass. But instrumentally, other than playing rhythm guitar, and I don't sing normal. You know, I don't sing like just straight on melody stuff. I try to kind of sing horn lines, you know, or lead lines with my vocals. You know, try to do different wacky things while I'm singing. See if I can get a rise out of the audience. Or sometimes maybe my lead player will play a lead, and I'll try to come in and copy his lead with my vocals on the words and stuff. You know.
Do you imagine? I mean, since you mentioned that a horn line, do you imagine your band having horns when it doesn't?
Oh yeah, sometimes a lot of my songs are actually written for horns. And I do have a horn player that I work with from time to time out of Minneapolis, Minnesota, who's a great, great trumpet player, you know. But trying to find guys that can play like that, they're not easily found, you know.
And I imagine they mostly show up on your records rather than at your gigs.
Yeah, because, you know, I can't imagine what it would be trying to juggle, you know, three or four more pieces with guys playing. I wouldn't even know how to pay a horn player. I don't know how to, in reference to somebody is playing guitar on every song. You know, it would be hard to feature a horn player on every song without making everything sound sort of contrived after a while. You know.
What's your typical band then that you bring on a tour?
Well, usually, if I can find the right steel player, I like to have a four piece. When I would come on the road, I'd have one guy playing Hawaiian steel or straight steel. The only pedal he has is a up and down volume, and they usually have the old Bigsby side to side, where it's a tone and, you know, where it's treble and bass, so you get the wah sound when they play. And but they have to be able to play straight steel and play it really good. You know, play like Jerry Bird, or is it Jerry Bird? Yeah, Jerry Bird. I think that's the name of the guy, the steel player, Hank Williams, you know, his early steel player. But I like the real Hawaiian steel sounding stuff. Then I like a really good lead player. Then just upright bass myself.
So no drums, typically. The rhythm all comes from the guitars and the bass.
Yeah, the guitars and the bass. On this tour, I'll be running with a three-piece. Until I find the right steel player for the band, I'll keep running three-piece. And the guy that I'm using on lead guitar these days, he's quite a prodigy. The kid plays really, really good music. I say kid, but he's 23 years old. You know, but
well, relatively speaking, that's kid.
Yeah,
I guess.
I kind of got to the point where I wanted to quit using younger. Nothing against younger people, but using people that are in their early 20s. Sometimes go on the road, they're easy to jump out of. You know, after you had maybe spent 6 months training a person to play your music, and all of a sudden they get itchy feet and jump to another band in 2 years and you feel like it was all for nothing, you know. So generally try to use older players, but this guy came along and he was just really, really good guitar player. So his name's Zach Sweeney, you know. And no, he's not on the new album, but he'll be on the next one if he stays around.
All right. Well, people get to hear him, of course, and the other. So when you say three pieces, it's you plus two.
Yeah, it's me plus two. The other guy that will be playing the doghouse bass, the upright bass player, oddly enough, was my lead player 30 years ago. And he and I were in the Marines together, and he was in the air wing, and I was in the grunts, and I was in the infantry. And we were friends, and we used to go out in town, and we would do like a little two-piece, you know, just a little, you know, duo, you know, and you know, singing, playing songs. And it's funny that he would now plays bass for me, you know, plays upright bass.
So there's somebody who has definitely stuck around for a long time.
Yeah, he's definitely been around, stuck around a long time.
Well, let's close out with another tune from Ride. It's called Cappuccino Boogie. Anything we need to know about this one?
Well, let's see here. I wrote this song probably when I was, let's see here, that would have been early 90s also, probably 93, maybe 94. And I used to go to the coffee houses every day. We didn't have coffee houses in East Texas when I was growing up there. I mean, you wanted coffee, it was black coffee. That was all you had. And I discovered the coffee house. Austin, Texas, was a lot like San Francisco, especially then. You know, there was a lot of kind of hippie culture type stuff in there. And you know, I don't know that coffee house or hippie culture, but it's more like the hip cat, you know, type scene or whatever in the coffee house scene. And I started going to these coffee houses, and they always had really good-looking girls working at them, you know. And I'd always like to try to order something, rather a long order, so I could sort of sit there and stare at her for a while. And that's where the Cappuccino Boogie came from. And when I was recording this album, I thought, you know, I was kind of reaching back in my memory, and I thought, well, that'd be a good song to do, you know, do the Cappuccino Boogie. So we actually recorded the song.
Well,
but I recorded it in the way that it was written. You know, I didn't change it or go, well, I'm older now, I'm not going to do this. It's sung exactly as it was sung then. So,
well, it's another fun one, and it's a whole fun record, really. The CD's called Ride, came out about a year ago. Cappuccino Boogie, written and played by Wayne Hancock and his band. He's coming to the Rose Bowl Tavern in downtown Urbana Saturday for a show at 8 o'clock, the Rose Bowl on North Ray Street. And if you want more information on Wayne Hancock, well, you can always just Google him. Bloodshot Records is his company, and they got his biographical information on there. You can explore his own website and his numerous albums. And meanwhile, enjoy this last tune, Cappuccino Boogie. Thanks very much for joining us on the show.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me, and I hope I didn't talk too much.
Oh, hardly. Not at all. That's why I called you.
Oh, cool.
It's Live and Local on FM 90.9.
Well, every morning when I wake, I shiver and I shake. Gotta get a little booster on my morning coffee break. Go, cat, go, do the Cappuccino Boogie. Go, cat, go, do the Cappuccino Boogie. The Cappuccino Boogie make my whole day jump and swing. Well, I take a Java shop with a gong gal at the counter. I get a triple shot, brother, just to be around her. Go, cat, go, do the Cappuccino Boogie. Go, cat, go, do the Cappuccino Boogie. The Cappuccino Boogie make my whole day jump and swing. Johnny.
pocket when they're in the sack.
Hey!
I take mine when I drive my Cadillac.
Go, Cat, go!
Do the cappuccino boogie.
Go, Cat, go!
Do the cappuccino boogie. The cappuccino boogie make my whole day jump and swing. I shiver and I shake. I get a little booster on my morning coffee break.
Go, Cat, go!
Do the cappuccino boogie.
Go, Cat, go!
Do the cappuccino boogie. The cappuccino boogie makes my whole day jump and swing.
Wayne the Train Hancock from his CD called Ride. He'll be at the Rose Bowl Tavern in downtown Urbana for a show Saturday night at 8 o'clock. This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. Our broadcast today is made possible in part by a grant from the Meredith Foundation dedicated to supporting the musical arts in performance and presentation. We also have support from Sweeney Brothers Carpet and Rug Gallery of Bloomington, featuring in-plant area rug cleaning using the master rug cleaning method. Sweeney Brothers at 11 Westport Court on Bloomington's east side, where the beauty of a room starts with a floor. There's a group that's been on our show a few times now, and they perform in our area with some frequency. In fact, they're doing it twice this weekend, as far as I can tell. They'll be at the Iron Post in Urbana tomorrow night at 9 o'clock, they being the bluegrass band out of Chicago called Hen House Prowlers. And then on Saturday, they will be at Shady Nook Pub in Saybrook, Illinois, with opening act Farmageddon. That show Saturday starts at 7 o'clock. We have their latest CD here, which is called Breaking Ground, and this is a tune, a traditional tune, is arranged by the Prowlers and sung here by their fiddle player, Dan Andre. It's called Pretty Polly.
Oh, Polly, Pretty Polly, would you take me in kind? Polly, Pretty Polly, would you take me in kind? Let me sit beside you and tell you my mind. My mind is to marry and never to part. My mind is to marry and never to part. First time I saw you, it wounded my heart. We'll be right back.
Tonight I feel the cooler, my stuff clothes in a tote. Open the window, set it all in the boat. Baby says I follow what the river wrote. Points are all like a gun, and off we float. Fall brings rain, winter dumps snow. Storms lift the table, living's sure to go. We got a love worse than 93, and the flood's gonna wash us down past Tennessee. Baby says a pull needs trust the boat. I say the next bend's all she wrote. You know this river's got an appetite. You know my baby, we go day and night. One part whiskey, two parts fine. Storms lift the table, levee's sure to go. We got a love worse than 93, and the flood's gonna wash us down past Tennessee. We got a love worse than 93, and the flood's Tennessee.
We heard Bruce Bruiser Rumney in music that he wrote with Steve Davenport. Bruce wrote the music, and Steve wrote the lyrics from the CD called This Noise in My Blood. And Bruiser plays most everything on this, all the instruments on the CD. Ed Schaller does join on bass on that particular tune, which is called Worse Than 93. Bruiser's going to be with The Boys, as his band on this occasion is known, Saturday night at Clark Bar in Champaign. That starts at 6:30. Before that, we heard the Hen House Prowlers from their latest CD called Breaking Ground, and the tune's called Pretty Polly, featuring Dan Andre on the vocals. He's the fiddle player of the group. And the Hen House Prowlers are going to be at the Iron Post in downtown Urbana tomorrow night at 9 o'clock, and then in Saybrook at the Shady Nook Pub Saturday at 7 o'clock, along with opening act Farmageddon. It's Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. Here's one of those people that got away over the nearly 5 years of doing the show now, somebody who I'd hoped to have an interview with. She was performing at the Krannert Center. It's been several years now, and it didn't work out, but I got a CD out of it, so to speak, and always enjoyed listening to it. The artist named Maritza, she sings in the Portuguese form of what is known as fado. And this is one called Recurso, which means more or less recourse. And I'll tell you the text because it's all sung in Portuguese. Only when tears give me a deeper sense of your secret do I feel pure, and do I grant the grace of listening to the heart. Right away, the suspicion arises that in the two of us, everything is premeditated, and tears then follow the fado of all that our love rejects. We no longer wish to know of the heart, nor is what it gives important to us, returning febrile to that thirst where all that matters is what feelings give.
Thank you. apenas cuando as lágrimas me dão um sentido mais fundo ao teu segredo. É que eu me sinto puro e me concedo a graça de escutar o coração logo a seguir, porque vem a suspeita de que em nós dois tudo é premeditado e as lágrimas então seguem o fado de tudo quanto nosso amor rejeita. Não mais queremos saber do coração, nem nos importa o que ele nos concede. Regressando febris àquela sede, onde só vale o que os sentidos dão.
That's the final movement of Tuba Concertino by Rolf Wilhelm. We had played part of the first movement at the end of yesterday's program, which featured tubist Mark Moore of the University of Illinois faculty. He's giving a recital tonight at the Krannert Center in Urbana. Starts at 7:30, and it features that entire concertino. The performer here was tubist Patrick Sheridan with the Johann Wilhelm Friso Military Band. Before that, heard a performance by the Portuguese fado singer Maritza from her CD called Terra, and the tune called Recurso or Recourse here on Live and Local. Here are some things you can see and hear live over the next couple of days besides Mark Moore's tuba recital. The Station Theater in Urbana is presenting the show Good Boys and True. It starts at 8 o'clock tonight, and in fact, we'll be featuring some scenes from that with some of the actors on tomorrow's Live and Local at 4 o'clock. Coming up in just a few minutes, it's Aliwath Stavis and Sundiata Cha Jua, not sure I'm saying that's right, a program called What is the Civil Rights Movement? The Role of Music at the Krannert Uncorked program, 5 o'clock tonight in the lobby at the Krannert Center. It's Ernie Hendrickson and John Till at the Castle Theater in Bloomington tonight at 7 o'clock. The George Turner Trio plays jazz at Bouvons in Urbana this evening at 6:30. The Jazz Friends Quintet play at the Iron Post in Urbana tomorrow evening at 5. The Old Style Sextet plays at Bouvons in Urbana tomorrow night at 9 o'clock. And it's John Coppice and Suzanne Warner at Clark Bar in Champaign tomorrow evening at 6:30. Ole Number 7 with special guests The Flower Jacks are at Shady Nook Pub in Saybrook tomorrow night at 7:30. Flower Jacks will also be at the Iron Post in Urbana Sunday night at 7 o'clock. And I have time to mention Donnie's Homespun Acoustic Showcase with Louder and Manning, Dave Luttrell, Ryan Bishop, Micah Walk, and Elizabeth Eckert. Donnie's Homespun Pizza in Springfield tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. And on our show tomorrow, we'll be having a woman named Arissa Ray Kopp, who will be performing this weekend at Walnut Street Winery in Rochester, Illinois. She's going to come and do some live singing and playing for us on Live and Local tomorrow, again during the 4 o'clock hour. Finally, I want to mention the Community Center for the Arts Faculty Showcase Concert, which will be at Pizza M's in on West Main Street in Urbana, Saturday from 6 to 9, a free concert, and a lot of variety, both classical and vernacular, as they say, with a lot of their faculty musicians performing. Our broadcast is made possible with support from Lincoln Square in Urbana, a lifestyle center which includes unique and independently owned specialty shops and restaurants like Piatto and Piatto 2, Tang Dynasty, and The Great Impasta. This is 90.9 WYLL FM and HD Urbana with translator W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music and More for Central Illinois. WYLL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. This is music by Bohuslav Martinu. It's one of the pieces that will be played by two faculty members at the Community Center for the Arts Saturday night.